Hello, welcome to Star Wars Spelt Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today, oh man, aren't you people all lucky here? This is like threading a needle. This is like throwing a knife across a room and getting it through a target. It's the perfect timing. It's like landing the plane with your eyes closed here. I've managed to have a little window where I can record during the day today. And the guest here, he's a busy man. His schedule, you know, is busy for the best of us, not to mention all the podcasting he does. But we managed to just get the planets to align at the right second, the perfect time to get Chris Fresh, his freshness, his royal freshness on the pod. How you going, mate?
Hello there. Hello, hey, Josh, and hello to all the Star Wars Spout Outers. No, it's good to be back. I was thinking last time I probably would have been on the show was with Mitch when we watched Return of a Jedi.
Yep.
Which was a world before COVID.
When you could have people around at your house. Where you can just invite a couple of guys around to share popcorn and sit on your couch.
Josh and I were just laughing we're 15 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
Here we are over Skype. It's like the old days when you're on the phone, even though you're probably in walking distance of their house. We're not quite walking distance.
No.
But, it's not that far of a drive. But yeah, it's been quite the year.
Yeah, it's only March. Yeah, well, we're just discussing offline because, you know, originally we sort of talked about, you know, getting together and doing stuff, and I'm going, oh, maybe I'll meet up with Chris and we'll go have lunch and we'll, you know, I'll pull the mics out and people can stare at us while we're sitting at a table having lunch doing a podcast, and then obviously you've got sort of unusual work hours, and then I just threw you a message this morning because I had a window and you're like, yep, I can do it. If we go pretty much right now, I can do it. So we jumped at the opportunity, but then so it was like the old days, and then of course we were in lockdown a week ago again. So we're just rapping about all the lockdown memories.
Yeah, like I legitimately was in bed in my undies. I'm still in my undies now. I'm like a newsreader. Josh can't see.
I can't see. I've got the cameras.
And I was watching Screen Junkies Honest Trailers. They did Street Fighter, Romeo and Juliet, and The Simpsons Movie. And so I'm in quite a good mood because I really enjoy the Honest Trailers.
Were you inspired by the Mortal Kombat one? Is that why they reckon they did the Street Fighter one? Or
well, I think so. Because I haven't watched Street Fighter probably since I saw it, because I remember just being so disappointed in it. Because I always used to say in the 90s, Street Fighter better game, Mortal Kombat better movie.
Did you see it at the cinema, the Street Fighter?
Yeah.
I saw, I didn't see Street Fighter at the cinema. I saw Mortal Kombat. We saw it.
Yep.
And I was living in Leongatha, still in the country. My best mate lived in Melbourne, so I would come up and stay with him. And I remember we went to the village on Burke Street up
That's
the top
where
end.
I saw it.
Oh, there you go.
But where the there was a time zone next to it, yep, and the arcade in between.
Yep. Yep. But we went up, we were in the city for whatever reason, and we decided to see Mortal Kombat. And this is, you know, obviously pre-internet days. We got there, and I remember it was something crazy, like 3 or 4 hours before it started. And then we just decided to hang around the cinema for like 3 or 4 hours and just wait for Mortal Kombat to start.
You would have had Minotaur right there.
Yeah.
Minotaur would have been to the left of it.
Yeah, that was when it was up that end, yep.
Yeah. So the like Burke Street in Melbourne was sort of all happening there. I'm sure the international listeners are thrilled. But
well, that spot there Melbourne. I think it's an Asian cinema now, predominantly sort of showing Asian movies. But there's a really good sushi place that's right there that I used to go and have lunch at a lot when I worked in the city. So back in the day when you would work in the city. Mm-hmm. So I was up that end quite a lot the last couple of years. But yeah, but Minotaur's obviously gone. But yeah, I watched that Mortal Kombat trailer and sort of like the new one, and it shot in Adelaide. I was looking for the Veal Gardens or the Adelaide Oval, or you're trying to find the kinks. Or
the balls in the Rundle Mall.
Yeah. Like
they're fighting there. Mortal Kombat's, it's to me, I think the excitement of seeing like the Mortal Kombat trailer is we might be able to see this thing in a cinema. And, you know, I'm thinking of our American friends who would probably watch it on HBO Max just to be safe. But if, touch wood, as somebody that's about to do a wrestling show,
yeah,
if things stay the way they are, you're going to be able to go to the cinema to see Mortal Kombat. And I don't really want to see Mortal Kombat in the cinema, but I will for the experience.
Yeah.
Because I miss being able to go to the movies.
This is what does my head in about the Zack Snyder Justice League. Like, I just assumed that they would put it in the cinema. You know, like, I've got the morbid curiosity like everybody else, and I'm going, 4 hours, all right, well, and I think I read somewhere like, oh, there'll be an intermission when they show it, and I'm like, oh, cool. Look, I would carve out the time if I could go to the cinema and watch Zack Snyder's Justice League opening day, you know, take a Sunday afternoon off or a Sunday evening or something and go see it. And it's just like, oh, no, it's just going to be on Foxtel here in that weird box format. I'm like, oh, like, I've got a 75-inch TV and I'm going to have this. It's kind of, you know, you might as well watch it on your CRT that you've got.
I know, like, the 4x3 thing is so weird, but everything about that is weird. But
like, why the image, something else to complain about? Why give them something else for people to just, anyway.
The image of Homer when he's got, like, the XFL hat and flag or the Showgirls hat and flag, where he's sitting there excitedly watching it, that's me with this movie. In, I am so excited to see it, and I can't lose, because if it's awful, it's everything I dreamed it would be.
Yeah.
And if it's good, it'll be, wow, it was actually, they pulled it off and they did it. It was good. I guess middle of the road and it's just there is probably the lose.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing that's going to prevent it from being bearable is 4 hours. Like, nothing that long is going to be any good.
It's sort of, like Return of the King extended cut or whatever is clocks 3 and 3:10 or 3:20 or something. Okay. You know, like, it's getting up there, but it's sort of, I don't know how well you know Lord of the Rings, which is why people are listening to, but it's the end of a story. It's an earned thing. There are payoffs. You know, the whole thing wraps up. Like, this, I don't even know how this is going to end, you know? Like, if you're going to get to the end of 4 hours and it's still going to be dangling threads and it's still going to be, and then the battle was really beginning, you know? And I kind of thought the hour thing was probably a better idea, but
I'm no Rise of Skywalker fan, but it could have used going 3 hours and just chill out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, let a few things marinate, like whether perhaps I it would have been for me or not, you know, that's another story. But as you're saying, in terms of payoff, movies like series like that have earned it. And DC got it all backwards in they went from starting their universe with Man of Steel, where already DC fans were like, I'm not sure about this portrayal of Superman, to let's kill him in the next movie. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, Batman never got his own movie. Like, the whole process has been a mess. And I just get the feeling that this will be the fitting send-off to a disastrous attempt at a universe.
Yeah, I don't, like you're talking about, like, going, oh, you know, I win if it's terrible or I win if it's great. Like, if it is great, they've almost got a bigger problem. Because then they've got this whole thing where it's like, people are like, well, we want to see what happens with that. Like, we don't want to see what happens with that other thing.
Do you know who wins then? Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot. Because the payday that's coming their way.
To get them back,
this,
yeah.
Yeah, if this thing, like, in the unlikely scenario, this thing is such a big hit that it takes the world by storm. Yeah, like, they're going to have to drive up a lot of money, particularly to Ben Affleck's place, I think, to get him back on board.
Oh, that Affleck.
I love him.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that he's thought a little bit on it, and he came back and he did some stuff as well. Like, I always, again, it's that, I was talking to my sister the other day. She came babysat the kids, and we were talking about, like, up some movies and stuff. And I said, oh, I've got the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Have you seen that? She's like, yeah, she goes, I didn't mind that, but, you know, it felt like all the jokes were just the jokes from the best jokes from the last one, kind of rehashed. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it's a bit like that. But I have such a curve of forgiveness that I give Kevin Smith on stuff, just because I liked so much of the other stuff. I'm just willing to let the not strong stuff slide. But the more I was thinking about it, I'm going, it's kind of like the Blues Brothers 2000 version. Like,
oh, it's that's a harsh.
I know, but all the things the best bits of Blues Brothers 2000 are all the bits that remind you of the other one.
This was like Kev performed a concert, and he just played all the hits.
Yeah.
And you know, he didn't try too many songs that the crowd would go to the toilet for. You know,
so it wasn't Neil Diamond. Everyone's checking out and just waiting for Sweet Caroline.
And me being a huge Guns N' Roses fan, there's a Guns N' Roses forum that still exists, and I love checking it out because I've never seen people hate a band yet log on every day to talk about like all the time. And if they go out and they play the same set list every time, everybody on the internet's going crazy, going, play some new songs, mix it up, this is ridiculous.
Yep.
And if they were to, if these people were to attend a concert and not get those songs and get stuff from Chinese Democracy, it would be, I can't believe he dare played Chinese Democracy. Why didn't I get like Sweet Child O' Mine, you know, like why didn't I get this and that? Like you can't win in that scenario, but Kev's making a movie, like it's, but he did make it like a concert.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Josh.
Yes.
If we've heard a lot of Star Wars discourse with The Mandalorian Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
And it sort of plays into that theme of, were they playing the hits, you know?
Yeah.
And is that a bad thing that they did? And, like, I'm a big Mandalorian defender. I enjoyed the show. I enjoy the hits. So I don't mind hearing it and seeing it, and I get excited by it. For you, because I always, you're an artful dodger when it comes to strong opinions on Star Wars. I always listen to, I go, listen to that Chappie. He's
dead, shucking and jiving. Really, and, yeah.
Strongly. I still don't know what you think about The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years. What was your preference in approach to The Mandalorian?
What was my preference in the first? I mean, I liked the new stuff. I probably found the connections to the Clone Wars stuff the weakest stuff.
Okay.
The Ahsoka stuff, the Bo-Katan stuff. I have to think about a little bit more about that maybe.
Did you watch the Clone Wars?
Yes.
So I've seen all of that.
I've done the Clone... I attempted a rewatch recently, and I'm very, very slowly because I don't really have time. Yeah, you know, I go through. I just, you know, I just sort of pick and do it. Like obviously the bond between the, you know, the baby Yoda and Mando was sort of the front and center of the driving force of it. And I think when I had Nikki Kumar on a couple of weeks ago, we're kind of going, if they really do park that baby Yoda for a while, like all your people who've just come in, like that's not so much whether baby Yoda's cute or not. It's, you know, you remove that element from the show, like people don't care about Mandalorian diplomacy and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like there is a danger of that you throw it into that sort of, you know, slightly niche opinion, I suppose. I don't know. But yeah, look, I liked all of it. I was pretty general on it and stuff. But I mean, my heart is definitely with the original trilogy stuff. So anytime they sort of, you know, they bring in Luke Skywalker or there's Biker Scouts or stuff like that, that's the stuff that gets me excited. Like I wasn't sort of pumped for Boba Fett going in because I just kind of thought I knew what to expect. But I think Temuera Morrison just made him interesting, you know. And that became something like, oh wow, that's actually really cool, you know, like of those new shows, the Book of Boba Fett seems interesting. I like the idea of like the Rangers of the New Republic because you kind of see the other stuff we haven't really seen and stuff. And yeah, the Ahsoka stuff could be interesting, but it's that kind of, I guess the filling the gap, they're back in that kind of filling the gaps, dancing around. It's like that, it's sort of like the original trilogy is kind of like this weird black hole where everybody now has to dance around. Like they've kind of populated it. They've populated it so much on each side of it that it's kind of like this weird black hole where they've got to find ways to move all these other characters away from it.
The Book of Boba Fett can go a couple of different ways, and if it goes in a direction but nobody's ready for it, it's going to remind me of Marty McFly at the end of Back to the Future when he plays the guitar and he goes, I guess you guys weren't ready for this yet. Like, you know, it's going to be it's funny. Star Wars has been unlucky in a lot of ways. They've made some mistakes of their own doing. Like, I think having three different directors write three different movies with apparently a loose timeline they were going to stick to was the wrong approach for the sequel trilogy, you know, but they were unlucky that Kerry passed away. They were unlucky that Harrison Ford got injured.
Yeah.
You know, they had some bad luck. Now they've got bad luck in Gina Carano has rightfully been let go, but it appears that they had big plans revolving around that character.
Yeah.
You know, if she was the person that Rangers of the New Republic was going to be surrounded by. So you would assume that they're doing furious rewrites.
Well, that would be the hardest to spin off with no connection. You know what I mean? Like, that's the hardest sell. If you'd stuck Cara Dune in there, like, it would have been an easier sell because you could just use her as the conduit into the world. You know, obviously that was being set up where she was sort of like the marshal. And, hey, look, you know, I know everyone's spoken about Cara Dune to death, but I did scalp my Cara Dune Black series.
Oh, you did it
last week for $300. So
excellent,
which is crazy because I was looking at clearing some stuff out, and I'm going was through.
Was it an Aussie or a Yank that bought
it? No, it was an Aussie because I had. You've heard me about 100 times saying I'm getting out of Black series. I'm gonna focus this collection, and I went as far as like I listed everything I had, and I went on to the price listing, and I kind of got a general feel for what stuff costs, and I was sort of, you know, putting stuff down at like, all right, I think it's about this, I think it's about this, and I bought a new acoustic Maiten guitar, which was quite expensive, and I was like, all right, well, if I sell 4 or 5 of these hot ticket items, that'll cover most of it, and I won't feel so bad about spending this money and blah blah blah, and like, you know, the Cara Dune was in there, and it was, I don't know, $70 or whatever it was, $60-$70. And I thought, all right, well, because it is reasonably hard to come by. And then all this stuff went down, and like one of the forums I'm on, they're going, oh, yeah, people are putting them up and the prices are going up like this. And I saw one sell for $150 and da-da. And then we've got a little group chat here with some of the people in Melbourne that you know, sort of, you know, Catherine and Andy and the Bantha boys and stuff. And we were talking about it. And I said, oh, I should put up on eBay like a buy now for like $300 to see if anything happens, because I got like, because I use eBay, they get, like, you get a couple of free listings or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just stick it up there. And I got a message about an hour later just saying, you're taking the PI $$$, and that's what they wrote in the thing. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I probably am, but no harm, no foul.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next morning I wake up and someone had offered me $285, I think it was. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'd get a better deal for that. Maybe this will become the Holy Grail. But that's, you know, this whole thing could blow over in 5 minutes, and you know, there could be all this shipment could come out. That's money in the bank. So I just, I was like, yeah, great, I'll take that. And you know, I didn't want it on the shelf anymore. It was really amongst others. Yeah. And so that was one less Black series, and that was while we were in lockdown. And then just the dovetail to that was that I was on the very dangerous Facebook marketplace on the Tuesday while we were doing school. Like, I'd finished doing all of schooling stuff. And there was like an ad, and it was like Black Series figures, $20 each. I'm going, oh, all right, well, I'll open up the ad. And it was 90% all the blue stripe, the orange stripe ones. So basically the really hard to come by ones, the older ones, all the good characters like your Han Solos, you know, Luke, all the ones that you can't get. And I'm going, this must be, what's going on here? Like, this can't be right. And even the newer ones that they're in there were like the Qui-Gon Jinn, which is impossible to get in Australia. So whoever had them, it was a collector. And whoever was selling them wasn't a collector. I sort of was going, all right, well, I did the math in my head. I'm going, well, this is roughly what I just sold this Cara Dune for. So I sent like a little message going, hey, you know, is this available? And the lady wrote back. She goes, "Oh, yes, it is. A few people have messaged me already, but they can't come over because we're in lockdown. We're in a 5 kilometre. You can't go out without 5 kilometres." I said, "Oh, well, where are you?" She said, "Oh, I'm sort of Hawthorne, and I'm in Glenorah." Yeah. So I went, "Well, I'm within 5 kilometres right now. I can come around right now and get them if you like." She's like, "Oh, okay, that'd be great. Like, I have to pick my kids up at 4 o'clock or something." I said, "All right, Olive, we're going on a little road trip." So I grabbed Olive and we shot over to Hawthorne. And this lady, she came out the front and she just had this bag of, there must have been 17 or 18 of them. And I think I had one of them already. I think there was just a Lando in there that I had. And gave her the cash, and that was that, really. And it was like the score of all scores. But I'm just going, you know, I thought I was out. And then this, no, you know, really. I had to go through and just clear. I was like, well, who's going off the shelf and who's going on? I had to sort of do that. And
the figure God smiled upon me.
Absolutely.
That's a sign that you've got to be in.
And you have to do the obligatory sort of, you know, you post in the Facebook, you know, the collector's group, and, you know, you do a little show off and stuff. And yeah, some people are just, you know, screaming that there must be all fakes, or there was all these theories of, you know, just disgruntled girlfriend or all these sort of, you know.
And it's sometimes it's luck, like, you know, that falls under the classic category of you would have been losing money not to get them.
Oh, totally.
But, like, you know, I've had moments where luck's come my way, like at the Juan Turner Trash and Treasure Market. Like, I had first met Jude's and we were just wandering through and I see a sound wave out of the corner of my eye from Transformers. And I'm like, that looks like an original sound wave. And I start looking and there's an original Starscream. And I start looking and there's more G1 Transformers. And I couldn't have handed money over quicker.
But that's when you become really aware. When you do that, like, we go to Camberwell Market every now and then. I mean, I've never had a score like that. But when you find something that you want, then you, or even if you're like hunting for figures or whatever, you have all of a sudden you have that feeling that everybody around you wants the same thing that you want, yeah, and that everybody is looking at you, and that somehow this has to be done. Or if you don't have enough money on, all of a sudden you've got to try and find a way of, how do I make this happen and be cool, but get the price I want and not alert everybody that there's some sweet thing happening.
But the lady with the Transformers, they were her sons, and her son had gone off to uni. And it was like, he'll be mad when when he returns.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was at the market selling it. But, yeah, like collectors, we are total losers. I had a meeting on Sunday morning at Doncaster Shopping Centre and got there just as it was opening, and I was with a friend and I said, "Oh wow," I go, "I wonder what toys they've got in Toy World, because it looks like there's a queue," and the queue was actually for the barbershop next to it. But my brain would be, of course there's going to be a queue to get into Toy World.
Yeah, yeah. Seems weird to everybody else, because, you know, like I worked in the city, there was, you know, like Melbourne laneways and stuff, and nearby there was always a spot there where there was a queue. I'd walk by every couple of months or whatever, and there was all of a sudden people were camping out, and it was like a shoe store, and it was all the shoe people, you know, and they were all there for the sneakers and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of go, look at those weirdos. And you're like, I'm just as weird, really. I'm just doing dollies instead of shoes.
Yeah, like it's like the fact I'm considering going to Adelaide to go to a toy fair. there's something during a pandemic. there's something wrong there. I probably won't, because like April's a little too soon to be, I think, planning to travel interstate. But speaking of travel, Josh, I was going to ask you. I keep seeing in my feed that there, and I've never gone to one of these, that there's a star walking event.
I saw that. Is that in Sydney, or is it here?
The Matthew Flinders Hotel. A convention thing, which is very close to both, well, closer to you than me.
Yeah, that's really close to me, actually. Yeah. They did a little con. There was like a little comic con there maybe a year or two ago. And I was like, well, I'm just here. I'll just duck down. And I just drove down. And then I remember I parked in the car park. And then I saw some people milling around sort of the entry, and I just walked in. And it turned out that I'd walked through like the back door where the cosplayers were coming in and out, and I just missed like the bit where you pay at the front because I'd never been there before. So I just walked in. I went, okay, well, I'm in now. And you know, I cut a couple of laps and they had the sellers. Like I'd recognized the sellers had been at some of the toy fairs and stuff as well. I'd have to double check that because I've seen them advertising a bunch of stuff because my friend Dale Williams, who's been on the show a bunch of times, he's involved with Starwalking, and I've had Luke, who's the chairman on there, on the show before. I know him a little bit and he's a nice dude. So
I'm too scared to go by myself.
Yeah, but, well, if it was on, I'd have to double check. But yeah, I don't know if it's... Is it like a swap and sell? Is it like a... I don't actually know what they do.
That's what I'm fascinated by, because obviously you hear in their heyday, they'd get international guests and do all this sort of stuff. And obviously in the current climate, you can't do that. So you
get Jay LaGuire or Damo from Neighbours or...
Yeah, now that'd be all right. Like if Damo... I think it was Home and Away.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah, my mistake.
Like if they're there... I'm okay with that. Like, is Catherine Neen going to this?
It honestly hasn't come up. I didn't even know. But I've got like I'm on the newsletter and stuff as well still. So I'll just have to check. But because I'd seen a bunch of stuff for a Sydney event and it was more like a selling one. And that was why it kind of piqued my interest. I was like, ooh, it's some kind of selling thing. Mm. But I'll have to throw it out for the team and see like events. Like the last sort of event thing I went to, Catherine and I, we went to the Comic-Con at the showgrounds.
Funny you say that because...
Oh, because you were there the day or the morning or the day before.
I did a panel there and I received an email just this past week going, we would love to have you back to do a panel at Supernova. And I couldn't believe that they're doing Supernova.
What date is that?
Easter weekend,
right?
April 2nd, I think. They asked me, and it would be in the Melbourne Showgrounds.
Yeah,
and I was floored that I didn't know. Like, and I'm like, because they usually, for those that don't know, like they're sort of like our equivalent of a proper Comic Con, and they'll get big international guests. There's no way they're gonna. Well, you have to do 2 weeks quarantine. There's no way they're gonna have international guests. Like they might have local comic artists and stuff like that. Maybe I'm their biggest guest.
Maybe you just find out you just go there and it's just the big marquee like Chris Fresher's on the top of the thing.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble with Chris Fresher's their biggest guest. But I couldn't believe that it's still going ahead.
Yeah, well, we went there. I mean, I feel like that was the weekend. Might have been the weekend before the Grand Prix, before everything shut down, because they were setting up. I think there was some sort of TV thing they were filming there. And my cousin, Rhett, both my cousins run music festivals. They run their own festivals. And he got hired to do... They brought Soundwave back, which was like the big festival that they used to do back in the day. And they were bringing it back. And he was the one of the site managers for it. He was putting it all together. And I saw him just not long after the pandemic and stuff. And he said that, we came in after the Comic-Con left. We put the stage up. And then we got an email saying My Chemical Romance won't get on the plane. So the whole thing's being shut down. So they had to put the stage up for Soundwave and then shut the whole thing, pack it all down the very next day. And then the whole thing got called off. And that was basically when they shut the Grand Prix down and they shut, you know, everything. And then the rest is history. But it was a good con, the Supernova one. I feel comfortable enough going to these things, I think, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know, like I took Steph with me, my daughter, and you know, I was lucky that I got to avoid the queue.
VIP, daddy's a VIP, guys, stand back.
Yeah, it makes me look like $1 million of look at dad getting to go straight through. And then nobody come to see his panel. but it's definitely a weird time. Like, It's a weird time in that sort of thing. It's a weird time in terms of entertainment. You know, like we've got WandaVision, we've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and, you know, we've got Book of Boba Fett and stuff. But I don't know about you, but it just feels so strange not having a constant stream of movies to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. Like I, you know, I've been itching to get to the movies and there's just nothing that... Sort of, I think Kat went and saw The Dry, and I hadn't read the book, and I was like, oh, yeah, I could, you know. But normally, as you get into March, they started dropping stuff then. Like, I suppose Godzilla and Kong will be the first thing where I was like, yeah. I'll go to the movies and I'll make an effort. And like, they showed Star Wars and they showed Indiana Jones, and I kind of thought, oh, if I have time, I could go. But then they were only showing them in the evening, and that's sort of the hardest time for us. It was sort of right over, bedtime. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's just, Australian movies are doing pretty well, which is good for them, because that's kind of all that they've got out. But I just going back to like Justice League, it just sort of feels like they could have just stuck Justice League in a bunch of screens and people would have gone. Like,
it seems like it seems like there are certain things that the streaming services are taking a deadly strike at the cinema business.
Yeah, they're smelling blood in the water.
Because even like me and you as fans could probably go, how awesome would it be if they showed The Mandalorian at the cinemas? Mm. And we could go to the movies and, we sit there all day and, we'll watch The Mandalorian on the big screen at a cinema. And as fans, it sounds great. Disney has no interest in us doing that at all. They want us at home watching it on our 75-inch TVs. Josh and I are both flexing. not leaving the house as much as humanly possible. And it's like with Black Widow, for me it was, please don't go on Disney Plus, please go to the cinema.
There'll be a point where they're going to have to put it out, because I mean, I think they kind of slightly got lucky where it seems like it's a prequel that's not, it doesn't have dangling plot things where it's like, if it had been, if it had been Avengers or one of those other sort of ones that leading up to that were a bit more sort of crucial to the plot of everything that's going up, they would have probably had just done it, because like, well, we can't tell this story because we've got to find, we've got this dangling plot thread going on right here. So they've kind of lucked out on that. But I feel bad. It's kind of, it's like their big, first female-led one as well, and it kind of has to get slummed onto Disney Plus, and either way, it's probably going to suffer, even if it gets in the cinemas in other places.
I just watched the trailer for it again because of WandaVision. I've been watching some of the Marvel movies, and I just watched The Winter Soldier, and I was like, oh, Black Widow's really quite good in this. Mm. I'm going to watch the and I'm watching the trailer, and it says in cinemas May 1st. And I was like, May 1st, awesome. No. That was May 1st last year. It was meant to come out.
Wow.
Like,
at Supernova, they had all that Black Widow stuff there. Like, that was the big push. They had the big Black Widow. I don't know, there was some sort of interactive thing you could do, pumping Black Widow. Well, because I had Nikki on, Kumar on from Imperial Senate last week or the week before last, and he lives in LA, and we were talking about Celebration, and I just said, given you live in LA right now, had they just gone this year rather than the year after, where we are now leading in, do you think it would be possible? And he's just like, nah, there is no way. There is no way if it was going to be on in August this year. It's like, unless some sort of miracle cure came through, it's just sort of,
Well, that's what surprises me. In PowerCon is the Masters of the Universe convention, and they traditionally hold it in Anaheim.
Is it the same convention center? Like, does it get Celebration numbers, or is it sort of like...
No. Like, it's far smaller. listen, nobody loves holding aloft their magic sword as much as me, but the PowerCon's a very small convention in comparison. But they're insisting that they're going ahead in September, and I just keep thinking to myself, no way, dudes, like, abort mission. Like, it's next year if you're lucky. So that's what I'm going to ask you, Josh.
Was that going, that movie's coming out, we've got to get ready for September.
It's not coming out. The Power returns in 2021, the poster said.
The power's on hold.
The cartoon's coming out. So you are a big convention man. You stole the show at the last Celebration with your beanies. Do you realistically see yourself attending a Celebration next year?
Yeah, I'd say so. If I'm vaccinated, I'm going, basically. Yeah. And I can, if I'm vaccinated and it's all safe for me and I can fly, and I know that it's, it's on and
people. Yeah, do you think they'll run?
I think they will in a year. I think the vaccination rate will be high enough. I mean, I can't talk about the way America does things. I can't, you know, it's not my country to comment. And I think enough people will, within their interests, to do it. I don't know whether they will make people be vaccinated to go. Maybe, maybe not.
I think it sounds like for international travel.
I think if you want to fly, you're going to have to. But as far as locals go, you know, I can't really say, I suppose. No. But, you know, it's, you're in there. Like when you're in that, on walking the floor, especially the first couple of days, it's pretty crowded. Like there's no getting away from people. But, you know, I fully assume that this year I'll be able to, like, once the vaccinations roll out and everything's cool. I mean, we're different. Obviously, we've got really low cases, and I'd like to go to a footy game, and I'd like to sort of, you know, do stuff. And we've been out and about a fair bit. We, like, we still do masks in certain places and things, but I'm pretty confident. I think they'll be pretty keen to do it now that they've got all this stuff in the, you know, we sort of, we so talked about, stuff. Well, we talked about leading up last year when it was happening, going like, what are they going to drop? They've just dropped Rise of Skywalker, I guess, like Mandalorian season 2. Maybe they'll talk about Obi-Wan. Maybe they'll talk about this stuff. Like now it's going, well, there could be 20 panels for all this movies, 2 movies, 8 TV shows, cartoons, the High Republic stuff, all these games. Like I think they want to absolutely drop the, you know, drop the bomb when they do it.
Well, like you'd be entering in, and obviously Andor and Kenobi probably won't have aired, but you know, I'm pretty sure, well, the Bad Batch will have, and we will have seen the Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian season 3.
Yep.
So there'll be a lot of new Star Wars lore in there. And you'd think that probably production on Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, we'll be close.
Would be about to start, if not already underway. Because that's meant to come out 2023.
I think so. And then the Taika Waititi one comes after. Yes, yeah, so they might do casting announcements. They might do. It's just sort of weird because obviously it's in August. So it all kind of depends in, you know, like we sort of, you know, we're kind of going at the time when it was 2020 going, oh, August, you know, what can you show at that time trailer wise if you've got something to show? And, you know, because I think what was, I'm just trying to remember what Chicago was. I think it was early, it was sort of April, you know, so that was the perfect time to drop that first teaser trailer for Rise of Skywalker because, you know, you're just showing a little bit and then you roll into the other one.
And you had the Mandalorian.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had the Disney Parks.
God, we didn't make it for that one. I think I've told this story before on here, but I remember we got up in the morning and I was sort of having breakfast, and we were really lucky. We got into a lot of the big panels, and you tend to get up early and get down there, you know, as soon as you can. And I think it was sort of like, especially for episode 9, we got there and made sure we got a good spot. And so we were sort of up at 8 o'clock out of the house, and we had to get over to the convention. But this was the morning. I think it was the Saturday, and we knew that we had the big Steel Wars event show in the evening. So we're like, oh, it's going to be a late one. Let's, you know, we'll just roll in a little bit later. But, you know, so sitting sort of having my cereal or whatever I was doing, like, oh, I'll pop the, because they're doing the streaming. I'll just pop in on, check in on the Disney Parks thing and see what's going on. And I remember that was just like these five people on stools. I didn't know who they were. And then the host, I can't remember who was hosting it, going, oh yeah, and you know, Galaxy's Edge is going to have some amazing music, you know, that's been composed by blah blah blah, so let's listen to a sample of this now. And they just had this shot of 4 or 5 people on a stool just like while the music's playing, kind of going, yes, isn't this? I was like, oh man. And then I kind of felt bad for people who were like, oh, I didn't get into, you know, Rise of Skywalker panel, but I got into the parks
like, one. In fairness to the people with the parks panel, there are people that are obsessed with Disney parks.
Yep.
Like, you know, and look, Brittany Brown of the Canto Bite Dispatch, she's a big Disney head. I'm not saying that Brittany has a big head. I'm saying
she's got a big head for Disney.
Yeah, but she's right into Disney.
They won't have that issue in 2022 as far as, like, there could be 7 or 8, you know, AAA panels as far as, like, if there's the movies. And now the Rian Johnson thing's come up again too, which I think is still probably 5 or 6 years away, realistically. And that's, you know, that was always nice. I mean, I never, assumed any differently. And it was really weird. Oh, really? Some people were like, some people were just like, oh, it's off, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off, it's on. He never said it was off. He just, it was always just, I don't know, we'll get to it, we'll see. Like, it's just like, I think they've obviously stalled it based on how everything else went down. But I think that was also the reaction to Rise of Skywalker and other things. It wasn't just him. And also,
to me, like, I would love nothing more to see a Rian Johnson trilogy. Like, I'm Mr. You know, I'm 42 now. Give me as much as you can fit in
while I'm alive.
While I'm alive.
Yeah. Like, same here.
You start getting to that point of just give as much as you can. But I still think it's like, I wouldn't hold your breath on it.
No, I'm pretty just like, yep, it's going to happen. Like, I actually think that those Game of Thrones guys stuffed up more than people probably realize. Like, I think that actually threw a huge... I mean, I think Solo threw the biggest spanner in the works because they were just going to go one or two a year, bang, ba-bang, bang, 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 bang. And that threw a spanner in the works. But I think the Game of Thrones guys, you know, because that was going to be a trilogy as well, and... we don't know what it was going to be, whether it was what the High Republic ended up being. Maybe they said, hey, let's just pivot this idea into books where it's cheaper and safer, and then we can come back to it and look at movies and things. But I think that threw off a whole bunch of, you know, because that was their next 3 or 4 years planned out for movies. And then they kind of had to scramble and start from scratch. Like, I'm sure that, you know, Patty Jenkins and Taika Waititi 18 months ago weren't even thinking about Star Wars.
No, like I'm skeptical about the Patty Jenkins movie because I saw Wonder Woman 84 and it makes me nervous.
Mm.
But then I think how cool it's going to be to see multiple X-Wings firing up on a giant screen and getting into dogfights and all of that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And like the Star Wars fan in me, like the hair starts standing up on my arms, and I start thinking to myself, this will be cool. Like,
yeah,
like I don't know, who knows what the story is going to be, what era it's going to be, etc., etc. I love all the fights over what era X-Wings and like, is it Resistance? Is it Rebellion, yada yada yada. It's like, everybody just calm down, you know, we'll probably find out next year at Celebration.
I always felt that it was that would be a story that would be better suited to TV. like, I always thought this maybe Rogue Squadron was too small in scale for movies now, but I mean, I guess you can do anything really. It can just be the jumping off point where it's, you know, part of a larger thing. But I don't know, I kind of go, well, you can do dogfighting on TV pretty much fine, and like wondering where all the money's going to go. But like I guess it's like Rogue One, you kind of go, well, what's that going to be? And that, you know, that was huge scale as well. So I'm sure there's ideas.
Check out Light of the Jedi.
No, I just don't have it was the closest I'd gotten to getting a Star Wars book and reading it, just because
you were
people
read it.
Well, yeah, I mean I podcast during the day, like listening when I'm working and stuff. Mm. But my work, because I've been contracting, it's sort of been on and off and on and off, so it's been a bit sporadic. But and because I'm not commuting anymore, that was a lot of my podcast time as well. So and I was very close to just getting the book and reading it, and but then I got the sort of the Hawes breakdown, which I thought was pretty good, and then I listened to the Bad Motivators and kind of got the gist of it. And I've checked out a couple of the comics as well, so I've sort of followed a little bit through the comics, and yeah, it's good. Like I think it's doing exactly, it's probably doing better than what I kind of expected it to be. I like the enthusiasm. Like, I know people, book fans, you know, they get really excited about the stuff in the books and stuff, but it feels like it's almost kind of crossed over a little bit. Not for everyone, but there is a level of awareness from people who don't read the books of just like, oh wow, this actually looks like it's something cool, and you know, let's make some more stuff of it.
I listened, and I'm happy for Hawes and King Tom to recap everything else for me from this point forward.
Right.
it was okay, right? I listened to it. It was fine. But
it's a lot to take in. seems like there's a lot to take in off the jump.
If you're telling me that I've got to invest into this and not have time for my podcast that I listen to, it's like no. Like I'm lucky that I do get to listen to my headphones at work.
Yep.
But yeah, I was confused at the start, which was a common complaint. I think, you know, they were introducing a lot.
Yeah.
And I heard it and it was fine. And, you know, I'd watch a cartoon of it for sure. You know, and I'll check out the TV series that's going to be about the end of it and stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm lucky we've got some good friends that host awesome podcasts. That
they can just do the heavy lifting, you know.
Yeah.
Because like, it's one thing to get a recap of something. Like you can read a Wikipedia thing or you know, whatever else. But there is an extra, I find, you know, doubly nice part where you can have, you know, someone you consider a friend tell it to you and you don't even have to ask them, they do it, you know, like get Hawes or King Tom or someone to break it down, almost like, well, I don't have to call Hawes, I don't have to bail him up and get it because I know he would have read it. He's just doing me a courtesy and just breaking it down for me in a way that I will understand it and using examples and of things that I also would get the references from, you know, if he's like, buddy, it's just like, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I know what you're talking about.
I understand and I get it. It's good. But I'm always one of those people like, sure, I'll go, the first book didn't wow me, so I'm probably out. But I'm happy it exists and other people are psyched about it. And I always think it's sort of like, Josh, you're a parent.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you with babies, sleep promotes sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in, you know, product promotes product. And if a lot of people are getting into something that's not necessarily for me, there's more chance that something for me is going to get created.
Yeah.
And that's why even with Rise of Skywalker, well, you saw me after the movie.
I've got it on tape, mate. It was, you know, we told the story where, you know, Dvigga, then Catherine got all emotional about Ben Solo dying. You just assumed that she didn't like the movie like you did it. You're like, oh, no, she hates it as well.
And I was like, oh, I've touched a sore point with Catherine, but it wasn't. She was emotional about Ben. And I was like, oh, who could possibly care? And that was my first time with Star Wars that I felt that way.
Feeling flat.
But there's a... yeah, yeah.
Did you have that after Phantom Menace?
The animated Clone Wars movie, but that...
Did you feel... What was your feeling coming out of Phantom Menace?
I didn't realize that the Phantom Menace dragged a little to a 3D version.
Until the third lap of the pod race.
Yeah, like I got out of the 3D version all those years later and I was like... Oh yeah, I guess it does drag a little bit.
Like, I came out pretty charged. We saw it at Knox and at midnight, and I was the Star Wars cheerleader. And I remember having a really self-aware moment. The moment Jar Jar jumps in the water, like when they're running down to the water, and Jar Jar does the flip. I remember going through and just kind of going, "What the hell's going on in this movie?" Like, I really became really aware of like. What is this? Like, what's going on? Because I think the start is quite Star Wars-y still with the lightsabers and stuff. And then you're kind of going... But then I remember coming out kind of going, oh, yeah, cool, you know. But I think I still saw it 8 or 9 times at the cinema.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I think my friendship group with Star Wars at the time was a real bubble. So we weren't aware that... Like, you heard... that people didn't like the movies, but it was not like the internet these days where Twitter will tell you immediately what everybody thinks of something. So I was quite invested in the story and the characters and everything. Like, I was all in on Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan. Even with Hayden, the performers, I was like, well, he's meant to be a whiny bitch. So it doesn't bother me. And I remember watching Revenge of the Sith going, give Ian McDermott an Oscar. Like, he's having so much fun playing Palpatine. Like, I quite enjoyed it. It wasn't... When I saw the Clone Wars animated movie, I was like, that wasn't for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the first time I sort of felt that with Star Wars, where it was like that, like, because there was a Ninja Turtles animated movie at the same time.
Mm, I saw that at the cinema.
And that was actually way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
And the Clone Wars was really disappointing, to the point I didn't watch the Clone Wars until the third season and had to go back and start watching it, because I think I was hearing from people, it's actually not bad. You should check it out. And I was like, well, look, what else am I doing with my life?
It was also that, you know, I just assumed that was it. You know, like,
yeah.
I remember walking out of Revenge of the Sith in London and I was by myself, and because I'd only been there a couple of months, and I'd made friends, but not friends of like, hey, do you want to come at midnight and watch Star Wars? You know, people are like, well, I'll go the next day if you want to go during the day, but I'm going to go. And I stupidly, for this day, the premiere was in Leicester Square. I could have gone down to the premiere and, or at least tried to get down there, but for whatever reason, I didn't. I remember liking the movie, and you know, it's very intense ending, especially if you haven't, you know, seen it before. But kind of just walking out, going, "Well, I guess that's it. Like, that's the last Star Wars movie I'll ever see." You know, kind of wandering back to my house at 3 a.m. and yeah, and then for all those years, so with Clone Wars, I was just like, "Well, if this is what it is, like this is all we're getting, then I guess that's that. I'll just roll with it."
And you think that alternative universe where it doesn't sell and we get detours. But yeah. the thing, like, even with The Last Jedi, I saw it, and with The Last Jedi, I was like, people are going to hate that. That's where, but I liked it.
Mm.
But I remember I said to Jules, people are going to hate that. And he was like, I don't know what I thought of it. I was like, all right. But to me, Luke Skywalker made sense in that. He was lied to by Yoda and Obi-Wan. Of course he's going to start questioning everything and have a chip on his shoulder and everything. So to me, I've never had a problem with how they portray Luke Skywalker.
No, I never either. It's funny because they've just put all the Muppet Show on Disney Plus, so like the whole Muppet Show is on there, and of course the first thing you go to is the Hamill thing on there. And I've kind of breezed through. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I think he's more grumpy. Luke Skywalker was more grumpy in that Muppets episode than he is in The Last Jedi. And it took me back to as a kid being so excited that Luke Skywalker was on, and then just going, oh, like, because it seems like it's Mark Hamill's his cousin or whatever. He's got his, you know, there's nice Hamill and there's like grumpy Luke Skywalker who doesn't want to deal with the Muppets nonsense. I remember being more like, why can't he be more friendly like the other Luke Skywalker who's like shucking and jiving and dancing and doing stuff?
But I also, I don't agree with it, but I understand people going, that's not how I envision Luke Skywalker to be, because people have really weird hang-ups with childhood heroes and I'll tie it around to Masters of the Universe to come back around. In with the movie, they had cast a young actor called Noah Centineo, and he'd done some, I think, some Disney movies or something like that. Handsome young kid, everything I wish I could be. And
still and time.
The fans were going savage about it. He's not big enough. Look at him. He's a wimp. You know, look at this. Look at that. And, like, they were so angry that he wasn't. There's a funny commercial, I think, for a bank or a supermarket or something, of He-Man and Skeletor, where He-Man is so ridiculously muscular.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious. And I've seen a fan movie for Master Universe called The Fall of Grayskull, where they use a wrestler, and He-Man is so big, but he can't act.
Right.
And this actor in that ad can't act. And it's like, don't you understand, muscle can be built, but acting skills can't be
taught. It doesn't even need to be built. They could do it in a computer if they need to do it.
I know, but like, people were so mad and hung up that this won't be what they envision. And I think Luke suffered from that.
Mm.
And
he had the eyebrows, though. Like, I saw pictures of that Noah Centineo kid, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, you look at his eyebrows and the face. He's got the He-Man kind of face. I'm like, everything else you can just work with, you know. And I think it's also like having, you know, like, Master of the Universe fans are our age. Having a kid, like a 20-year-old, all of a sudden is your hero. Like, does that, you kind of go, well, if he's not physically imposing or massive or whatever, what does that say about me that my hero is someone smaller or younger?
But Prince Adam and Luke Skywalker, you know, we'll use the same thing. are boys who become men that wield a sword. You know, and there's a lot of people that are really married to that vision. And the problem is, if He-Man was around now, and there's an action figure, which is a really cool figure called King He-Man, and it's He-Man who rules over Eternia, things probably haven't gone well for him. And I can guarantee you, if they portrayed him in film, he's probably going to be miserable and grumpy and disillusioned, and somebody's going to have to try and show him the way back to being the He-Man that he once was, because that's storytelling.
Yeah,
because
there's no point checking in with him if everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah, like if you had have got to Luke and he was like, hey, I'm really cool, I still kick ass, give me a call if you need me for anything. Like, that's not great storytelling.
Step aside, young lady, and let me handle it.
Yeah, the problem I had with The Rise of Skywalker, and I know we're about to end, so I'm not going to go into a 20-minute monologue, but it was at the end of The Last Jedi, rightly or wrongly, depending how you want to view it, they set it up that Luke Skywalker became a legend, and Kylo Ren had now ascended to the throne of the First Order.
Yep.
And neither of those things were paid off on in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm always one of those people who say, I'll go on the journey, just promise me you'll get to the destination.
Yeah.
And
well, I thought that was the genius part at the end of Last Jedi, was that, oh, you've removed these roadblocks and you've made it all about these two central characters now. You know, like a series that's always like, you know, you've got Snoke in the way, you've got Luke in the way, you've always got this focus on these other characters. It's just like, well, you know, what's the pecking order of who's in charge here? It's like, oh, you've cleared the decks and you've made it solely about Rey and Kylo and them working it out. And then in the next movie, it's kind of...
within the first 10 minutes, that Ben's working for the Emperor. And that's the thing I loved the idea of, was Ben finally being the Skywalker that did it. You know, like, Anakin couldn't do it, Luke couldn't do it, Ben did it. He is the big man in charge.
Yep.
And what's going to happen with him in charge? To me, that's really interesting. And they went back to the past, and I love the Emperor, is one of my favorite characters. But what I will say to that is, to everybody that said, oh, well, you've got to go back to the past, the Emperor just makes sense and stuff, I tell you who didn't care about the Emperor being back? My daughter, who was like 11 when she saw the movie.
Yep.
She didn't care. Do you know who she cared about? She cared about Rey and Kylo Ren, who she grew up with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it's hard for people to go, oh, but movies aren't about kids. Yeah, but they are. Like, they can still cater to us, yes. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with setting up heroes for a new generation. And I think it was, in my opinion, which doesn't matter.
Save your emails.
It was a mistake to not trust their instincts and go with the two newbies.
I think it would have been
four newbies when you go, you know, Poe, five. Poe, Finn, Rey, Ben, Rose.
Yeah.
You know, it was also like, how do you not, like, Rose and Finn kissed? Nobody talks about it. Like, everybody talks about Kylo and Rey. Rose kissed Finn in the last movie. Did she just completely get friend zoned and that was it?
Yeah, it's like the, you know, it was. I mean, the production stuff obviously says that they had to rewrite and blah blah blah. So in order to, you know. The Last Jedi put up a bunch of challenges and put some interesting premises and ideas, the things that would have been, you know, could have been resolved, but would take a lot of work and writing to do it. And I think that they just went, this is too hard. Let's just bring back the Emperor. And if we defeat the Emperor, then we win. You know, then we can get everybody working towards that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that the goal, it's all, again, you know, wheeling around, going, you know, like, same vision all the way through. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, if you get someone like Rian Johnson coming back, he's going, well, yeah, I planned this thing from start to end, whether I direct it or not. At least it's a cohesive story. There's a reason why things happen here, and I'll finish it off. And you know what? And I'll wear it as well. Like, you know, if I'm you know, if you're not happy with the way I leave things in the middle chapter, know that I've got to bear the brunt of finishing things off in the last chapter.
Do you know my ultimate nerd moment watching that movie was that I call it the point where I cracked it. Was the Emperor shooting lightning that stopped all the ships.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, this is too much for me. Like, for some reason, that was my Star Wars bridge too far. Like, it was like, the Emperor is shooting enough lightning out of him to stop thousands of what appeared to be thousands of ships. And it was like, what am I watching? Like, what is this? And I wish I could switch off and love it, because it'd be far easier in my fandom to be able to. But that movie, sadly for me, killed off my enjoyment of the other two, because I don't care about the story. So even though they're cool on their own and have moments, it doesn't pay off.
If they get it back, I mean, it all depends. I mean, I think it's, you know, we keep saying we're wrapping up here, but we haven't stopped yet. But if they, it's episode 10 is going to happen. You know, the Skywalker saga was very careful way of saying we're going to wrap up these three trilogies in a way that we can say that we've put a little point on it, because also, you know, our Skywalker is getting on and we've lost one of our other Skywalker, and we can put a little bow on it. So this means going forward, don't expect to be hearing from Mark and Carrie and Harrison and all these other people, and we can go forward. So I think episode 10 is a inevitability. That is completely dependent on who wants in, when, and when they want to do it, and how much money and all those kind of things, if there's a passion for it from the actors.
They'll all come back
at some stage. But if they all go, hey, we're doing episodes 10, 11, 12, far out, 10, 11, 12, in whatever, 2029 or something, or 2030, or, you know, as soon as that comes out, and if they're any good, it becomes less, Rise of Skywalker becomes less relevant. You know what I mean? It loses its edge. You know, it's that whole thing about like landing the final chapter. Well, you know, currently it is the final chapter, but the less it's not the final chapter anymore, the less it really matters. They're already retconning that now in comics. They're retconning all that Exegol stuff in the Darth Vader comics at the moment. Yeah. So they're like Darth Vader, like this is like the one set between Empire and Jedi, where Darth Vader's caught wind of the Emperor's got Exegol and he's going to go check it out and da da da. So they're already pumping that stuff back in to sort of, you know, have
we'll
it make
be, we'll
more
be
sense.
We'll be 50 by then, Josh.
Oh, my God.
And I even listened to the audiobook to try and make myself feel better about it, because like maybe the audiobook will swing me around. And when I realized that not only is Lando Chana's dad, but also the Emperor, when he's getting thrown down by Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, and they've retconned it that he leaps out of his body into another body on Exegol. I was like, stop this. Like, stop it now. Don't touch Return of the Jedi. Like, make it that he landed somewhere and something happened. Not as he's falling, he leaps, so the happy ending is actually null and void.
What did all that like blue energy and all that kind of like come up out of the?
I love getting worked up about that. Look, it goes to show. I always laughed that I enjoyed the prequels and suffer in your jocks because I got to enjoy it and you didn't. Well, I now get to suffer because
Star Wars is pain. Yeah,
it didn't matter because there was the Mandalorian.
Yeah. You know, I watched an episode of The Mandalorian before I went and saw Rise of Skywalker on the same night. It's the impact stuff is, you know, that, you know, Scorsese complaining about, you know, consumable content and stuff. And there is a little bit of that. Like, there isn't, the stakes aren't as high. We don't have to wait 3 years between things now. You know, Mandalorian only ended, 9 weeks ago? Or something, maybe. And we got given a Marvel TV show. We got another one coming out straight after that. We just, you know, those Sith List boys are going to be getting up at 3 a.m. until the end of time now to do those live reactions and stuff. Like, that's just not going to end.
Just on that, America, all of you complaining about the Disney Plus drop times, as Australians, we love 7 p.m.
Oh, it's just like, perfect. It couldn't like be any better. Yeah.
7 p.m. on a Friday evening, you've just had a spotted dinner, you know.
Settling in.
Ready for bed, you know, you're just resting. It is perfect. So I'm sorry that for the one time in your lives, things haven't worked out. Things haven't worked out for you. But down our way, it's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Now, mate, thank you so much for doing this. I know that you were about to, you know, go off to Nine Eyes, and hopefully you can still do that. I hope you're not too. I haven't worked you up too much, but you obviously have a lot of wonderful podcasts that everybody who listens to this should know what they are. But give them to them one more time.
Well, universally loathed and loved is the Geek Dudes podcast. You can find us at Geek Dudes on Twitter and Instagram and facebook.com/Geek Dudes. We talk love, life, and geeky things. And if you have sensitive ears, please do not listen. And if you have sensitive ears, you could listen to Hey Hey It's the Podcast. Only Australians will know or care about it. It is a podcast where we recap episodes of Hey Hey It's Saturday. No, I'm not joking. And yeah, we're currently up to the year 1996, which is when Josh and I would have been in year 12.
Yep.
And yeah, it's fun seeing what was happening in pop culture and music at those times. And you can find that at Hey Hey Podcast on Twitter and Instagram and facebook.com/ Hey Hey It's the Podcast.
Professional as always. Thanks everybody for listening. You can catch our stuff at starwarsspeltout.com. I know the episode's a bit sporadic at the moment, but that's just the way life is. So you get them when you get them. They'll get more frequently soon, maybe, when things fire up a bit more, but we'll see. Whatever. It's only podcasting. Thank you so much, mate. A pleasure. Hopefully I'll see you in person in a couple of weeks down at the old Wrestle Ring.
Wrestle Rock at the Corner Hotel. Good Friday. We're not going to get locked down. We're going to be there. We're going to be drinking. There's going to be loud rock and inappropriate commentary.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, mate.
Thank you.
See you later.